Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello and welcome to the Premier League podcast, episode number 117. There was a week of semi-final action today, and I'm joined by two smiling Turles Sarsies, lads. We've double the light, and they had certainly a double the light at the weekend. Sean Smith and Jamie Barrett, welcome aboard. Stephen Cronin also with me here. Lots and lots to discuss, lads. I suppose we better start at the top. It was national television on Saturday night for the Sarsies, and once again, they rose to the challenge and put in a performance. Sean, I'll come to you first. Serious marker against the old foes, Loughmore.
Yeah, it was great. Again, kind of big finish, good finish to the game. Going in half-time, down by a pint. And Loughmore kind of got a goal against from the play there, maybe say in the first half. But our lads kind of dug in, got the scores. Darragh Stakeland, exceptional again. Like, he's a handful to mark. He's either scoring 6 points or winning frees or laying the ball off. Like, his touch is unbelievably, two touch in the first half there. The field is very greasy now, and there's a lot of water on it. You'd see the ball in or in the middle of the field, but he's touching all about. But we held on well. Loughmore again to kind of late goal again. But we always thought we were kind of close, but it's hard to know, was that kind of Loughmore, was just, you're kind of fiddled out from at the end, but our lads didn't let him get into the game. Like, Ronan again, dominating Paul Maher, Conor Saclum, like, and the Steve Cal's coming to life himself this year, playing a different role every game. So, like, you know, it was great to get the win over Loughmore, who kind of done us there 2 years ago in the county final replay. So, it's kind of good to get one.
Yeah, and we'll come to an interesting stat maybe from that Gartui head up the performance of the senior football teams this weekend. We'll come to that later, but Jamie, I suppose a tale of two halves, really. You know, the first half was really kind of nip and tuck. But again, I'm going to call it, you know, the old Limerick and the old Kilkenny before that, the kind of the first quarter, the second half, or that third quarter. That's when Sarah seems to put the foot down once again and really put this game to bed.
Yeah, big time. I'd say Páraic was delighted to get them into the dressing room at half time. And I'd say they were a different animal coming out in the second half. Work rate was off the chart. There was a reference in the commentary there in the match as well, that they're just, like Conor or Cahill, they were all just working so, so hard that Loughmore weren't getting time on the ball to pick out passes. The lads were turning over ball and getting scores off those turnovers as well. You know, that the third quarter of the game probably won it for them, you know what I mean? And they were able to kick on and they get the goal near the end as well.
That's it. And it's some, Jamie, it's some path to the final for Sars. Now, I suppose the one flying the ointment, again, we'll come to later, is the only team that actually have beaten Sarsfield, by my reckoning, is Kildangan this year. But like, you roll off, you know, absolutely destroyed Drum. Really, you know, Nina kind of came back, made it a close fight finish, but Sars looked very, very good that day. You know, two of the bigger names, and then Tack, you know, again, old rivals, Loughmore, beaten well, as you said. The late goal by Loughmore probably kind of, you know,
put a nice shape on the score, yeah. Mm-hmm. Look, they were the form team in the mid-championship. They were very good. Kildangan game, first round of the county championship, lost Ronan that morning. I'd say that had a knock-on effect on the panel itself. You know, if you had lost Ronan maybe on the Friday, you could have panned without him. You losing that morning, it's very hard to set things in motion then a couple of hours before the game, you know. But yeah, look, they've certainly gone through the hard way, like, and they learned it against Killarney the next day again.
Absolutely. And Stephen Thompson, I suppose, Darragh Stakelham in particular, if you're looking, you know, lads, looking towards the county, I suppose Colm in the group would always be asking lads, what lads will we have for the county next year, you know, and anyone there that's putting up their hand for it. But anyone catch their eye for you and general thoughts on the match as well? You're on mute there, Stephen.
Yeah, apologies there, I was on mute. But yeah, the efficiency of the young Stakelham there was, I thought, was excellent. You know, there was no dilly dallying around on the ball. Just get it, snap it, bang, you know, and to the way. What I took from the match now, look, Lochmore probably wouldn't have been thinking the same. And I've always thought Lochmore never panicked under pressure in other games. But it felt like, and even watched it back again this evening, it felt like they felt the pressure of the Sarsfields attack and the swarm and the hassle and the harry and the hook and the block and the fight. You know, it like Lochmore had a lot of drop balls. They had a lot of misplaced passes, and they just looked a bit shell shocked from the intensity that Turla Sarsfields brought to the game. And look, I know they had their purple patch and they went in at half time, but for me, Turles, you know, they've been brilliant. The way they dismantled Drum the previous game, and then to come out again then today, like they never looked like losing. I thought they never looked like losing the match. I know, you know, Lochmore got the early goal, and you know, made it look like they were going to put a run on it. But then Sars stepped up a couple of gears towards the end there, and I think they put up 1-3 or something without replying. The intensity was just unbelievable, and they made one of the coolest teams around look very, very nervous. And I thought that was a huge statement from Turla Sarsfields on Sunday.
Yeah, and I think it's a very young Sarsfield team, isn't it? I suppose, look, it's probably the most famous name in Tipperary hurling at the moment. But you know, this actually team itself, all right, lost the final replay against Lochmore a couple of years ago, but you know, I think they might have hit, I think it was four wides in the first 5 minutes or something like that on Saturday, but after that they really settled into the game, didn't they?
Yeah, it is. And look, a little bit of nerves at the start of the game, even happens to even the biggest clubs and the best players. Like, you know, this I think nerves are good, because that means you're passionate about what you're doing, you know, and there'll always be a few nerves. But I think it's fair to say at the start of the year, we, you know, the boys probably, I know, would have rolled them off a little bit or played it down a little bit more than everyone else, but we probably wouldn't have had Sars in the position that, not that you wouldn't have them in the county final, because if they got to the county final, you wouldn't be surprised. It's Turla Sarsfields after all. But the way they've went about the business since they lost the first round has been spectacular. And what they're doing in training, with like last year, there might have been a hangover because Paddy had to retire very early and prematurely. But this Turla Sarsfields, they look, for me, they look the real deal. And I said so before the semi-finals. I think they've moved into the favourites positions for me. And as Jamie touched on earlier, Killadangan were the team to beat them at the start of the year, but you're losing Ronan Mardis that morning. This should be a hell of a county final. Like, Turla Sarsfields they're rightly really back, like, you know.
Absolutely. And I think I mentioned when they did lose that final replay to Lochmore, maybe as one of you said, the difference might have been that bit of star quality in attack. Definitely, I think, you know, with Billy McCarthy back and the two Stakelhams there, and Shawnee Butler, is it there? You know, a lot of lads are after stepping up over the last year. And lads, I suppose the news broke during the week that Paddy Maher wasn't going forward again for another year with Tipperary. But, you know, the amount of work he's done with Sarsfields there, I'd say he's just so great to have around.
Yeah, so you can imagine the intensity and the passion that he's bringing to training sessions. You see him on the sideline there over the weekend at the end of the match. And, like, his qualities are coming out in two teams. You know, I'll never say die attitudes. Or the work rate of Shawnee Butler and Conor Stakelham, and I mentioned Cahill as well. Having Billy there as a target as well, he caught one great ball in the second half. He did second bite of catching, but he caught it. You know, like, they're working like dogs. Stephen Maher is back fit. Paul Maher is back from Dubai. The inside backline is a nightmare. I'd say nobody would want to mark any of them, right? They're too strong or too fast. you know, and it's Parik all written all over that team, 100%.
Yeah, and you know, he's going to grow as a coach, isn't he, lads, as well, or as a manager? You know, he's a natural-born leader, you'd say. You know that from his time in the Tipperary and the Sarsfield jersey. But I think, you know, and the year with Tip probably would have done him good as well as selector. But, you know, he's a real natural-born leader, isn't he? Just, he's definitely going to grow as a manager.
Yeah, he gets tunes out of players. Like, he's able to get, like, his 10 lads, like, you work your ass off for 40, 50 minutes. We subs are that can come on. Like Cotton only had a stormer game, literally. I say his legs are still like jelly, but we subs come on from, you know, person corner, Shawnee Butler as well. Like, you know, part of it, give everything, you know, if you get 4 or 5 minutes out of you, but you've given all. And that's kind of driven through all the players in the team. They're all trying to find each other, which is kind of a sign, like, all teams should be about, you know, some lads might drop ahead, but someone else want to pull him on and pick him up, you know. And it's great to have Parik in that role, like, when he approached Ayres, get in there, and he couldn't say no to that, like, in that position.
Yeah, most lads would be happy with the junior Bs or whatever, starting off. Like a few mistakes or no one's watching, but Warwick Maher in for the top, and look, it's paying dividends. So that's definitely one semi final. The other game on Sunday then was a different affair. Kildangan, for me, again, very impressive. Toome, were they a little bit disappointing, or were they just a bit overawed at the occasion, or were Kildangan that good? We must say, look, there might even be a bit of a controversy breaking with this one. A few lads on the forum there wondering, was Darry Egan kind of like an illegal player or whatnot, but I don't think there's much in it. You know, those team selection things, you know, there's a, I don't think Toome will be appealing that one. But thoughts on this one, Stephen, I'll go to you for the neutral look first, because the two Sarsas might be all full of their niceties now for Kildangan.
Yeah, I think that clutch that straws with the whole illegal player kind of a thing. You know, he's a registered player with Kildangan, and look, to Toome Vara lads, they're not going to be the ones to appeal it. I think it's outsiders causing a little bit of drama. But yeah, Kildangan they're a serious team. You know, like, I don't feel like they're relying on superstars, similar to how Sarsfields are going themselves. Although, like, you know, Ronan Maher is there, but as a team, I think they're excellent. Like, I think we forget that there were times in the county final last year against Killaran where they were absolutely outstanding and looked like they were going to absolutely steamroll Killaran, you know, then kind of died a little bit, and then came back and died a little bit. But they're, you know, they're back where they wanted to be again. They've been in county finals now a good bit in the last few years. You know, they've won a couple as well. They're an excellent team, and I like Young Hayes, his first name escapes me now, sorry, but I think he's really, Sean Hayes, yeah, he was underage, I love watching him underage, and I think he's really come to the fore this year for Kildangan. He's really stepping up and he's doing the business, and they're all working for each other. They're not over-reliant on one particular lad up top, you know. Sorry, no, the other lad,
Billy Seymour.
Billy Seymour, really coming back to his old self again. We all saw what he was like underage, and we thought he was going to have a huge inter-county future for us. You know, maybe that can happen, because he's really doing the business for Kildangan this year, you know. And I don't mean to be rude to Toome Vara, but there was always going to be one winner here as well. I think Toome Vara are coming teams, are getting better. But of the three teams that are in the semi-final, I would have had them fourth in the table. And, you know, gallant effort, you know, the brilliant result the last day, going into extra time, could have taken a little bit out of them, you know, because you have to get emotionally so high for things like that. But Kildangan, they just look comfortable throughout, and you know, they're going to relish this county final with Turles Sarsfields.
Yeah, they did, Jamie. You know, I thought Barry Hogan sending off might be proved to be a bit of a turning point there. You know, if Toome were ever going to make a run of it, it would have been then. Like, you know, but they couldn't really bridge the gap. You know, they were always 6-7 points of anything, then Kildangan just pushed out and pushed out.
Yeah, like they were so. The 6-point cushion was a big help to Kildangan. You know, I thought Toome Vara were a little bit pedestrian in the first half. I thought their play was a little slow compared to Kildangan, who are an awful lot slicker and sharper and faster, you know. So when you're chasing a 6-point deficit and you're hurling at 100 miles an hour, you know, compared to the game on Saturday night, which looked to be a lot faster from both teams, I thought Tommy Vara just looked a little bit sluggish. Maybe extra time had taken it out of the legs. But like with Barry Hogan going off, it was a chance, you know, the news Nick could probably nick a goal early after he went off and then get a bit of momentum and go after it. In fairness to Darry Egan, I think he made one or two good saves as well. Like Darry Egan always had skill and ability, like, you know, he's good
over as well.
Absolutely, yeah. You know what I mean? He has that quality. In fairness to him, he's been around a long time. He wouldn't have been feeling any pressure coming on or anything like that. You know what I mean? He's like a comfort blanket back there for them as well, because he has such experience down through the years of Tipperary and McKillidangan, you know. So look, it's a 50-50 game, I think, the final. I'm not going to blackguard lads by saying Killadangan are favourites or not. I think it's 50-50 all the way. So
I think you're probably right. Here's a stat for you, lads. I'm blaming the Irish Examiner if this one's wrong, because I'm just trying to do a bit of mental arithmetic in my head. But it's their sixth final in 7 years, is what. And I think they only have the one win, isn't it, versus Loughmore in
2020. No, they didn't.
They lost
2020. Yeah, they lost. They won 2019, was it?
Was it 2019? They stole the show on Loughmore there. Remember the puck out drama?
Yeah, that was 2020, wasn't it?
No,
but anyway, I think that's only one final win, isn't it? Out of six goals. So again, I know, Jamie, you're just kind of called it a 50-50 game, but that's definitely not a great record.
No, it's not. No, look, we know all about losing county finals and Sarsfields too, but I think Grenzer said you have to lose one to win one, and we lost four. But it can play in the back of your mind as well. You know what I mean? Haven't been there. I know they've tasted success, but they've tasted a lot of defeat as well in finals. So one more won't hurt.
Hopefully, and we might dig into the final next week a bit more.
One thing Killang kind of showed in that game, they're up, like they went 11 or 12 points up there, or 10 to go, and Toon kind of got it back, didn't they? They got the goal at 2 points, but then the thing was, like Killang, and they kind of rallied and said, right, we're not going to win this, and they pushed on and they got 6 points. So they could have said, I will hold on to the 4 or 5
they lead. Do look like they switch off a bit all year though,
they
don't
switched they? Off that for that kind of 4 or 5 minutes there, and like Toon got back to 5 at about 6-7 to go. Like another goal there could have said it, but Killang said, here, we won't score. And I think Billy
the
got
the way Sarsfields finish games.
Yeah, it was a strong finish. So
they can't afford to do that. So that's the race for Dan Breen for 2023. The race for 2024, I suppose, are two of the teams that will be in the race, will be Clonulty and Kilruan. I suppose perennial contenders as well. Kilruan, I would say, were comfortable enough on Sunday versus Upper Church. Might have been 4 or 5 points in the end. And Clonulty, again, I think it was 3 points in the end versus J.K. Brackens. Any catch
much? Yeah, 3 points, no, I didn't see much. I suppose no surprise with Clonulty and Kilruan winning. They would have been probably seated higher in the groups, you know what I mean? Kilruan is county champions. They probably had an awful lot to prove. They couldn't afford to get into a relegation final. You never know what's going to happen. So they had a poor enough year, obviously, by their standards compared to last year. And Clonulty, they did well to get extra time against Toome. But Toome were the better team on the day. And like Upper Church had a great year last year and had a poor year this year, you know. It's been topsy-turvy for a lot of clubs.
You'd be mid-man now, so you'd have a, like, for me, looking from the outside there, I'd say, like, Upper Church is probably a small enough group of players, pool of players that they're relying on. And, you know, if a couple of those aren't going, like, again, I watched most of this on Sunday. Just, they look like limited in attack. Look, they made an excellent fight of it. But Curran, I think, with their, you know, they had their best players on the field probably for the first time this year. And it made a big difference to them. I think they always looked comfortable enough, like, you know, without ever kind of dominating the game. But Upper Church, like, are they a team that might actually, there might be a natural drift back into, you know, toward the end of the Dan Breen teams, towards the top end of the Premier Intermediate? Like, would that be their level?
I don't know.
Trauma would be on a dartboard in Upper Church now for saying that.
No, I think they're a senior team. There's no reason.
Yeah, I would think they're a senior team, yeah. No, like, they've pushed us numerous years down over the last 10 years. They've pushed us to mid-finals and they've beaten us in semi-finals and stuff. You know what I mean? They're probably lacking maybe a little bit of firepower up front. They'll always have battling quality. That never, and they never want for that, but probably missing kind of a star forward maybe that's going to score 8-10 points from freezing play. You know what I mean? That's going to carry over the line. That's probably where they're lacking the most. Likes Pat Short. He's gone back down intermediate. He was doing a rail last year. Pat Short was 10 points a game, like, you know what I mean? And that's what they need now, probably, you know.
Kind of Paddy Green now is the main go-to man for there, Paul Shannon, maybe. Yeah. No, so I say, like, at that, when them games, you could let it pop over 12, 13, 14 points, like, you know, compared to Bracken's, like, in the final, going to have Ormond, Fairbrother, you know, Shane Dyes on the floor. Like, they have forwards that have scored, like, so that's going where it's going to kind of come down to. But, like, these relegation games are going to be dogfights. This is going to be just going
It'll
to
be a cracker,
I couldn't call
again,
it.
Like, for me, again, Premier Intermediate, I think whoever loses this, it won't be a cakewalk in Premier Intermediate next year for him. You know,
oh,
it's
no.
Brackens again. Look, I think that Clonalty would have been well set up for this after, you know, competing well in the county series, you know, winning the preliminary and then going, you know, to extra time in the quarter final. Like, so it's not like, you know, they were getting hammered all year, and I think they were fresh, and I think there was a bit of that. There was a bit of that, like, as well. But, you know, as I said, Bracken's another team that probably, you know, were suffering injuries, you know, the early part of the year, cost them, lost the key game, the first game against Mullaghone, and set them up probably for relegation. Bounced back with a win versus Drum. Yeah, would anyone want to call this one? 2 weeks' time, I think it's on, isn't it? 14th.
Yeah.
Saturday, yeah. Paddy Cadell back fit, or fitter than he was.
Yeah.
He could be the difference. Like, it could be that simple. One player could make all the difference. Very hard call, Kevin. I couldn't, to be honest.
You'd think that form would be slightly favouring JK, you know, when they got the boys back, they got the good result against Drum and Inch, you know. I would have felt that Clonalty would have been the best prepared team in the relegation semi-finals because of the two big games they had previous to it. You know, and JK, they there's only 3 points in the end. Like, that, that's only one puck of a ball. It could have went either way. Form-wise, I'd lean towards JK Brackens. But just a point on JK and the standard of the whole of how we're Tipperary Championship. For years, we were complaining about standards, and with last year's county finals in a county champions in a relegation semi-final, and last year's mid-champions.
Yeah,
in the relegation, yeah. Like, I think that's a phenomenal standard of hurling, and one or two lads missing is the difference now between all these teams going well and not going well. That's not just the case for the intermediate clubs. It's actually happening at senior levels because standards. So,
I suppose, just to reinforce that point there again, we were talking about it off air, but it really is, you know, that is a big factor, isn't it? Your key men playing well could be the difference between going through, doing very well, having a very good year, and being in relegation.
Yeah. We'd always speak about when you go into a hurling field, within 5 minutes, you want to know who the county lads are. Now, what clubs need, and you know, you'd see it a mile away, the big, big players. At a club level, for a club to be successful, or for a club to avoid the dogfight or relegate, the big players have to perform. You know, and it's that final line that Paddy Cadell injured at the start of the season really, really hampered JK Brackens. Like, you know, as I said, the mid-champions from last year, they turned over Drum, right, good game against Clonalty. Had they a fully fit team going into the start of the year, now I know everyone has injuries and things like that, they could have been fighting at the other end of the championship, but it could have been someone else. So I think we're very lucky in the sense that it's such a competitive championship. And now we're going to have another different winner 7 years in a row in the Dan Breen, you know, and it's brilliant. The new system is working, you know, and from year to year, predictions are just going to get harder and harder.
Exactly. It's great, lads, isn't it? You know, the 16 teams actually suits, you know, you've so much clarity on the structure there now. We'll leave the discussion on the length of divisions for another day, but now we have to go to the Sean Smith fan club. He loves this team in Premier Intermediate, as he's fond enough of telling absolutely everyone. We might have been favouring... I was... Cards on the table here now. I strongly fancy killing all in this one. I watched... I watched them beat the Swan there in our final. They look so good, but... Jesus, yeah. Between Kilnall never been allowed playing... Sarsh is particularly coming down the home stretch. Everything they hit went over, like, they just powered through. Sean, we'll let you take this one home now.
Yeah, Again, Kilnall, kind of overall, look at Kilnall's hit bad wides very well in possession, and we just punished them. We had the ball. Like, that's the thing. Like, we just took our chances. Like, four half time, we're three up, and Jack Lennon took a goal just on half time that looked to be overworked, but ended up sticking in it. Like, you know, it didn't end 1-11-8 up half time. Like, we're just clinical, and our backs, like, they're letting Kilnall shoot at times, like, but then they're letting it shoot from sideline. Like, they're not going, like, not every player's like Darragh Woods where they're going to fling balls over from sideline, you know, but like Kilnall be sick with that. Like, even the second half, the penalty they got, another goal was kind of soft against one of the players, but coming down the home straight, Jack Lanigan, Lee McCormack, Mikey Ryan come on, got points. Like, you know, Robbie Stapp in the car. Like, we'd scores all over the field. Aidan Ryan there played a stormer, got, it was a 2 points in play, Jamie, wasn't it? Like, and,
yeah, 2 points, then, 2 good points, yeah.
And then it's twin the back line, which that back line, any of them could slot in, like, no one, majority, like Dave Mara, full back. He has this bit of calmness about him. You know, he's not fouling the man, he just keeps the man out, waits till Jack Mara maybe or Aidan Ryan come in to clear the ball, Henry Fogarty, and pop it out. And Cal's there, then working, helping the back line of centre back. And Cal,
another he was excellent, wasn't he?
Again, like,
that was brilliant, brilliant.
And yeah, all over the field, there's players, but Kilnall, the first half is bad wide, kind of bad after bad wide. They kind of got to the Kilnall as well, they look frustrated with it. Bit we just kind of kept working, and some of our players then were all trying to get in the ball. We just took our scores, but no, it's light to be there. I'm kind of into the unknown now with this, but like our lads will fear no one because this team are just something that just stay going and stay going.
Yeah, Jamie.
Yeah. Yeah, like excuse me, what can you say? I thought Michael Cahill was incredible in the first half. He was an option. Anytime a ball broke in any of the other five back positions, he was an option. A pass, or he was getting in blocks or hooks or carrying ball forward. He really rolled back the years now, I have to say. I thought Jack O'Mara, cornerback, was very good along with Dots. And Kieran Maloney was the other cornerback. Kieran did well as well because he was down to play wingback. But like the work rate again was just savage. And then Kilnall made the mistake of not man marking Jack Lanigan in the second half. He was popping up 50, 60 yards from goals, and that Jack would put them over all day, and he did. Robbie Stay.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
And Sean got a goal out of nothing.
Yeah.
Turned his man out in the corner in front of us, and he just took off and stayed going. And how he got a shot off, I don't know, but the whistle passed Joe Caesar's ear, and that was the winning of the game, really, that kicked on from there.
Yeah, Stephen, a bit disappointed with Kilnall. Maybe Miss Bubbles brought on Michael Doyle. I think he got 1-1 after coming on as the impact sub, like, but they're just always chasing this game.
Yeah, to just touch on it, is it a huge testament to how Paddy Ma has this team worked out? We're talking all about Sars, how hard they're working. You know, they didn't leave Drum play hurling 2 weeks ago. They didn't leave Lochmore play hurling yesterday. They didn't leave Kilnall play hurling. You know, that's when you know your manager was a backman all his life. First and foremost, hard work. We do the nice stuff afterwards. And that's what's happening. You know, I know Sean is playing down Sars, and you know he made a comment there a minute ago saying we're delighted to be there. I've called this Sars team from the day I seen them in Clonmel that they were excellent. They were doing all the right things at speed. They could have absolutely had that game home and hosed. I don't know who the chap was, but he went bear down on the goal, and it was a fantastic save. But that game was done at that stage until, and then they got the man sent off, and against the wind then in the second half it became, you know, a battle. But they wasted so many chances that day that you think, you know, 9 times out of 10 they'd go over the bar. But they were excellent. And I've said it for a while now, and back on the positive. This, I think this Thurles Sarsfield team is brilliant. You know, they're doing all the right things and they're doing them fast. And the swarming of the opposition player on the ball is, you know, it's a template for all clubs to be watching, you know, because the more pressure you put on an opposition player, the harder it is to him. If you stand back and hurl, leave him hurl, you know, some lads can do it. Like, some lads just don't want to be under pressure. And look, unfortunately for Kinlaw, you know, it's an improvement on last year, but you know, they need to be getting back up to the top table. You know, they really, and the longer they go without it, the more pressure that's going to come every year. Because for me, I do think they're the best hurling team in the south, you know, and Mullaghone are up there already, but we need another team up there. You know, we need South Hurling as strong as possible. They'll be disappointed, but I think it's only Declan's first year in there. So he'll be in, you know, I know he knows all the lads and all that, like, but his way will be a year older next year, you know, and you'll be hoping they'll be a little bit stronger, because you can definitely see a new fight in Kinlaw that probably wasn't there the last few years. But unfortunately for them, they've come up against the Thurles Sarsfield team that I think it's excellent.
You know, and look, they were probably missing their talisman for 90% of the year as well, with Bubbles kind of not, you know, being injured. Like, so as I said, we just talked about the importance of having your big players playing well and it being crucial. And then, you know,
yeah, like, you know, a fully fit Bubbles, you're look, without blowing it up around, but you're talking 5-6 points easy, you know, a fully fit Bubbles. And that's a big player, that's a big score. And when he's, unfortunately for Kinlaw, he's injured all year, and you know, he's a person that they need to get fully fit now. They need to get right for the winter and to be coming into the new season injury free, fully fit and ready to rock and roll. Because you know, you said that said for Michael Doyle coming on scoring 1-1. Michael Doyle is about a year or two younger than me. I know Bubbles is not that much younger, but Bubbles is a former star in the county. Like they need the young lads now need to be stepping up. I know they have some good young players, like, but you can't be relying on all the lads to come off the bench to rescue a game against the likes of Thurles Sarsfield. It's too difficult, and that's no disrespect to Michael, because he is a fantastic hurler for Kinlaw and has been for a long, long time. I have huge respect for Michael, but for relying on all the lads to come in to rescue a game against Kinlaw, against Thurles Sarsfield, you're going to be in a little bit of trouble.
Look, South senior champions for the year, you know, probably you're right, you know, probably overall, once you get the disappointment out of this defeat, like, they've done a lot of things right this year, you know. I think Kieran Killian O'Dwyer kind of really stepped up, have very good years. Joe Mouse Dwyer as well, you know, looks really settled and fit as well, like, you know, so they'll be there thereabouts again next year. It'll be a bitter pill to swallow for them in the short term, but I think they did do a lot right this year.
Absolutely, and they're moving in the right direction, which is, look, I know talking about it now as a Kinlaw man, they wouldn't want to be talking about it, but when they do sit down and assess the year, they're moving in the right direction.
Yeah, and I suppose the other semi-final wasn't played. Cashel and Loras, condolences to all in Cashel on the passing of Timmy Maloney. You know, very, very, very sad there. So that game didn't go ahead. That's on next weekend. Just might be corrected on this one, lads, but will the winner of that game, will they go into Munster now?
They will.
They're just wondering with the grades there, as the Premier Intermediate team goes into the Intermediate Championship for two.
Yeah.
That's the Junior Intermediate loses out on that one. A team that will be playing Junior Intermediate next year is Port Roe. We flagged it. They were dealt towards the end of our power rankings all year. So we did fear for them. And I think it was, you know, that bit of firepower again that they were lacking all year kind of came, you know, came from in the end. And I suppose, look, what can you say on this one? But, you know, one of those years, I suppose, when small enough panel, you take out one or two key players out of it and they just never got going.
Yeah, and we keep touching on your important players, your big players. Look, they've all lives to live and travelling and whatnot, but smaller clubs without huge player bases, when they are losing marquee players, this is the result of it. And unfortunately for them, they're going to be dropping down a division. next year. Look, a division that if they have everyone back, they might be made favourite straight off the off the bat, you know. So if they can refocus the minds, you know, get out of the slump of actually being relegated, you know, they can make a right good stab at trying to get back up again, you know. And look, sometimes I know there's an awful saying, I hate saying it myself, but sometimes going down, you have to step back, maybe to step forward as well.
Yeah, we saw it with Laura, you know, last or the year before last, probably in intermediate, you know, they'd go down and, you know, they, you know, were in a, you know, money goal, ran them very close in that. I don't think Portrol cakewalked that division. I know our friend and the manager, Capa White, might have been thinking that, you know, he was cursing them coming down, that they'll be very strong next year. Stephen, of course, he might draw them as well. But, you know, I think that the intermediate game, the intermediate grade is very strong at the moment, so that'll be another very competitive division next year. So Portrol, it won't be an automatic up.
Yeah, complacency would be a big challenge for Portrow. I know of one or two teams that went down through the years, one or two South teams especially. And you know, complacency can set in. If you think you're gonna walk straight back up, that'll be the biggest kick in the behind you could get. You know, because a lot of, I know it's third tier down in the Tipperary Championship, but a lot of these teams take the hurling very, very seriously. And any team that's not fully prepared, fully focused, and you know, with 100% commitment and desire, they're not going to win that great, you know. So, tis to complacency now will be a huge test for them next year.
The next one, lads. I think they're going to make a movie about this one if they go on and win the intermediate grade. But Golden, by my reckoning, they were a change to the scoring system away from being in relegation, about a last minute goal to get them through a very tight group. Won their quarter final against the odds and probably put in the performance of the weekend to beat, if not championship favourites up there, Kilsheelan by, I think it was 6 points on Saturday. So again, Sean, what did the Premier Review pod lads know? Absolutely nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. But right, Rob was saying like these teams that went to them that grade, like kind of underdogs. Like you know, people were saying Golden, no chance. Like up, like you know, two semi-finals, no, you have money gone, Kilsheelan are the favourites there. But Borland, I saw them today against week 4 1 against Knockavilla and did a good win in the mid as well. Like and they're a team that are coming, but like I still thought Moneygall we're still going to have enough, but is there something with Moneygall that kind of come the end of the season kind of flatter out a bit? Like, you know, does the train stop from what? Like, you know, a couple of years now, this kind of happened just.
That game on Saturday, I'll talk about it, but that was a hard watch because of the conditions were absolutely
That's
awful.
where we're going. You know, like Mullingall in May and June on the ground in the leagues and that, but this is different. It's different style. Borland or team that loves that. They dog, but Golan must be on cloud nine now. Jeez, like. No, we're buzzing here, but she's there must be on a different planet altogether. It's
Absolutely.
fairy tale stuff, isn't it?
It is like, and you know, just again, like the conditions, I don't know, it might have been 7-4 or whatever at half time in the Borland game, like, but you know, it's like for Golden, again, they were on top in that game when Mark Yeo was sent off as well. So it's not like, you know, that sending off turned the game really, but it obviously had a big impact. But you know, I think it was Conor Gleeson brought in for a few weeks to kind of save them, you know, make sure they don't get relegated or whatever. And now, you know, I don't know how much of a big role he's played in the whole turnaround or whatever in fortunes. But again, I think it was Jack Leamy and another lad were away for the early part of the campaign, and you know, back now hurling well. And again, what you know, momentum's a big thing in these championships as well, isn't it? Like when you have that bit of belief, like, and as I said, they're in cloud nine. But again, they will be running into a fully motivated Borland team. And I suppose nearly a battle hardened team as well at this stage.
Yeah, they will.
Yeah,
But go
sorry,
on.
go
Sorry.
ahead.
There's one thing on Golan as well. Kilsheelan were kind of saying over the year, the lot of lads are going to score, not scoring. But I think the other day, like, Golan had double amount of scores compared to Kilsheelan in that game, you know. So, like, Golan kind of gone on Kilsheelan out there, maybe not throughout the year, which is a thing, you know. So, but again, kind of come up short in them. But still, it's Golan having lads are good scoring. They put a belief in them, and lads are popping balls over there from a place there from.
And look, you know, Kilsheelan in the football went all the way to penalties the week before. So probably, you know, we spoke about that. There's a few teams got a bit of a bounce after the football. Like, you know, this found it hard following up the next week. Jamie, their thoughts on the intermediate?
Yeah, like Bourlain, like Golden One, it was a bit of a surprise, I suppose, but fair play to them, they dug it out and they deserved their win. Bourlain on the other side, you mentioned it there, they are battle hardened, like, and they're coming and coming the last couple of years. They won a Junior A and a Junior B there a couple of years ago. And that intermediate team there now, they're probably ready to make the next step up again. You know, and even I think they're in the Junior A final as well. They were beaten in the semi final at the weekend. So they're a club on the rise from the bottom up, from under 13 grade this year. They won the football. They're beaten in the mid final, in fairness, by Dorlasoe. But they're doing a lot of right things in Bourlain. So that game, that would be a cracker of a game. Like.
Yeah. What impressed me about Bourlain was, look, if we're honest, they're relying on a very, very fortuitous goal in the normal game. You know, a big long ball in from 100 yards, all slippery conditions, found its way into the back of the net somehow, and they needed it. You know, because I thought in the normal game, Moneygall slightly edged it for it. But where I was really impressed with Bourlain is when extra time came, they took over big time. Fitness levels were... It was like as if they started the first game. You know, they were still 100 mile an hour.
I think they went points up early on. Last stage of the game is over kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Because a couple of points, when you go 2 or 3 points up in extra time, it's a very short game. It's a very short game. And I thought Bourlain really took over. The fitness levels were exceptional in extra time. And you know, the benefits of the transfer window is really coming to show for them. Apologies to Bourlain, but I had to be said as well. We gave Cashel enough stick down the years for it, so Bourlain are not going to be ignored. The heat is off Turles now.
Yeah, at last.
But no one, I suppose, look, wrap up on that then. Kildangan, probably two relegations in a row. 1 point defeat to Upper Church, so in the intermediate. So you see that a little bit. Teams going down twice. I suppose Aeroge didn't have the best year at Premier Intermediate after being relegated.
Did Bourlain go down twice and look and
They went down to Junior, didn't they?
Yeah.
Junior
Cashel went down to Intermediate and they're... But they cashed going down to Junior for a year even as well. After going down from Senior.
Yeah, that was the same. I think that was in 2018, was it?
Yeah.
I was surprised Clendangin fared so poorly at intermediate level. We played them in the county league there. It was the last game of the year. It was a bog up in the rag at the time, but I thought they played a decent brand of hurling. You know, I wouldn't have. Now I know county league is different. Again, you can't go off county league in challenges, but I thought they were a decent outfit. And just to find themselves in the relegation bother and then relegated is, there's a bit of a shock there. Now, I at the start of the year, I wouldn't have had them relegated.
Yeah, absolutely. Who do we have in the junior? Well, it's Holy Cross.
Clonty. What is it? Clonty beat Bourlain?
Yeah, Clonty had a good win. Yeah.
So that's the Clonty team. They were junior A the last couple of years. They won't be far off that now either. That'll be decent enough.
No, and you do see some of the bigger clubs now, you know, they are getting up the ladder a bit.
Yeah.
So Kildangan maybe. It is a bit of a surprise, Stephen. Yeah, you know, you are right that they have gone down. Again, for development, it's much easier to plan when you do have, you know, two teams in a county series, as in intermediate, Premier Intermediate and Senior. They all have their three games. They all have their divisional game, whereas Junior, you know, for the moment anyway, is left up to the division, so it's on a different plan.
Yeah,
especially down south when there's about 20 teams in it.
It'll be tough, all right, but I suppose for Kildangan's perspective, most of them lads you would think are going to be training with a senior crowd. And look, possibly they could, well, they, depending on how the next game goes, they could be training with the Danbreen County Champions, you know. So they're going to be getting great training all year. And, you know, a lot of junior clubs, you know, especially first teams, smaller, they might be from small rural areas, you know, they might have the same numbers. So Clendangin will be happy in that sense that they will have numbers training, and they'll, you know, if they're really serious about it, they'll have Savage training ahead of next year. But yeah, it is, was tough on him. And but look, that's how it goes. You know, you don't prefer, like, that's the nature of good competitive grades, that, you know, if it doesn't work out for you in a couple of games, you could be saying bye bye.
And the problem is then, like, this time of year then, so say they're playing nice kind of conditions, then are in kind of relegation battles and are in sort of weather on Saturday, like, you know, anger happening in games, they take a mind their own. So like you don't even want to be in the first place, but when they're sucked into them, you just fair get out them, like.
Think
But
Kilsheelan will know all about that. I think the conditions did help, and I don't mean to be insulting to Golden, but it did help him. It slowed down the game a little bit, and this time of year you'll see a slower game, and, you know, good strong lads, and especially crafty lads who were able to get a reaction out of some fellas, you know. And poor Mark will have to you'll have to learn from that one. Like, you know, if you're going to, he's getting treatment there throughout the game, and he's getting it all year, in fairness to him. But if you're going to react, you can't get caught. And that was a, we didn't touch on him when we spoke about Kilsheelan, but that was a huge blow to Kilsheelan, you know, and played right into Golden's hands. So, you know, we're learning lessons every year when we're hurling.
exactly. The classic goes on this weekend, lads. Not Aherlow versus Turles Arsefields, Commercials versus Mull Rovers. So the football classico, the Old Firm. Mull Rovers going in as underdogs. So I'm looking at a few blank faces now. We won't discuss that one for long, but I think there's potential in there. The ground's slowing up might kind of soften Commercials a bit. So this semi-finals are for winning. They'll be happy to get through this by 1 point if they can, like, you know.
The senior football, is
Yeah, that's it.
it?
You're still sour after going out of the junior B football now, you wish you hadn't got to do with the big
I know Oisin McConnell will patrol the lines now. We should see it. This will be a comfortable game for that Turles, I was going to say,
I heard he's only putting the
for
cones out.
commercials.
He's only putting the cones out for the
Expensive cone, man, if he's putting them out.
No,
but look, that'll be on Clubber as well. So look, tune in. Upper Church and Brackens, I think, is the other game. So that'll be a novel, a great chance for them to have a to get a to get a final spot. They've both been in the final recently. They'll probably want to forget it, but their experience there, you know, both got heavy losses. But you know, great. You probably, like, you know, you'll do better in your second final. You'll be more prepared for. So there won't be more than a point or two in that one as well. Probably just that they know each other so well. That'll be a war of attrition. I don't know what we're supposed to get a bit of an Indian summer this weekend, so you know it might be a bit harder ground you'd expect this time of year. But I'm just laughing at you there as well, saying, you know, look at the cut of the weather last Saturday, and then you have those normal tweets, oh, this could be All Ireland final Sunday day, or you know, and oh, this kind of thing. And you're thinking, geez, we're just so lucky now the way the club scene is being played in the majority decent weather. You know, you're always going to have, by county final time, you're probably going to be playing on soft ground and that, like, but at least the majority of it now, bar the odd summer storm and that, you know, you are getting played in decent conditions where lads will actually go to games and stuff and be part of it as well.
Like, even Sunday there, the day was cracking. It's good enough, like a decent day. The feeling Bolan was lovely, naughty fair, and it was mild, you know. So, like, just the monsoon on Saturday was the only issue, really, only for the weekend. But canteen's got a different, like, imagine if the Golden Kachila game was on Saturday and the Moneygall game was Sunday, coming different results there.
Yeah, look, it is a pity, but the look of the draw until we build an old a dome in Tipperary. So Connacht football style. So I'm sure that's on the way. Saracens have a grand bit of land out the road there. I'm sure he'd be happy to host it. At Nels happening this weekend. Any other results from the other championships catching your eye? Ballyhale hanging on.
Yeah, they hung on, didn't they? A couple of points though.
Did you see the last play of that game? Your man just dragging down like the Dixborough lad.
But even before that, they were Ballyhale a point up, Dixborough lad going through on goal, instead of tapping it over to get the equaliser. He went for the glory, blocked down. They went up the field, won a free, went two up. Like, the small little things against Ballyhale, you know, it should have been an easy point, and you reset yourselves. And but it's just that they're a juggernaut, aren't they? They're just a machine.
Oh, absolutely. Like, you know, but just man said, like, TJ Reid again, by all accounts, like, again, there was only sort of highlights. Just like, there's no stopping him there in the club game.
No, he's too good. Like he's so fit and so accurate and so
Yeah,
skillful. Like,
bit of a novel situation. Clear, I think four outsiders and Mofica are in their Cratlow or in their those semi-finals are next weekend. Limerick, the cream is coming to a top, isn't it? Patrick Swell had a good win. I think that
yeah.
was a quarter final as well. Cork are to final stage now. Emma Kelly lost out to, I think it was Sarsfields, Cork Sars, if I'm not mistaken, and not sure who won the Middleton game. So look, all the club championships are progressing and tip, I think, out of the week, the first weekend in November in the Munster Championship. So plenty to look forward to. It's nearly a year-round hurling calendar now, so plenty to discuss.
Great. It's great to have it. I just give a quick shout out there to the Stars Camogie girls who were bet by the Drumminch juggernaut at the weekend playing their first semi final.
Jeez.
So fair
Oh,
play
you're
to
not
Jack.
taking over the Camogie world as well, Jamie, are you?
We're coming. Give it time.
We've won there. She's the best of the state, as we call her.
Queen
Queen, showing you what. She 16, Jamie, is she 15?
16, yeah. And she's every bit as good as her forerunners. Without a doubt.
I'd say, lads,
So.
splits are tireless in two, but
Don't
I won't open that can of worms, though.
your
No, fair play to Sarsfields girls. I'm sure that look, there've been
Yeah,
plenty
first
more semi-finals.
semi-final,
Isn't
so.
that great to see Camogie's exploding? We must
It
get
is,
the
great to see it, yeah.
conversation on for another pod. Exactly. So that's something to watch over the next 5 years or so. I think it's been a great growth in see it in Clonmel and St Mary's as well, doing a whole pile of work on the Camogie side. So
Yeah, brilliant,
great to see
brilliant.
as well. Long may it
Promotion
continue.
or promoting the game well. Like that on YouTube the other day as well. Like, just that's
We're
all I want
pushing the
people to
game hard,
see.
yeah.
Yeah, play everything when it, and kind of it'll benefit them all. Right,
What do you make
lads.
of Tips All-Star nominations? The three boys. Probably who we're going to get, would it? That's really it.
I don't think you'll win one though, will you? He won't even be in
No.
the.
No, nice to be nominated,
Yeah. I suppose, would we have
though.
been smitten? Jake, probably. Jake, Rowan, and Noel, wasn't
Yeah.
it?
Yeah, look,
Noel had
Limerick get
a
15
phenomenal
nominated.
Munster Championship, in fairness to him.
That's it.
He is.
Interesting, I think, it was Woolley. I suppose his argument is it just should be on the regular season games when you're seeing everyone. That Limerick, picking on the final kind of skews it all. So it's an interesting argument. But like, you're it's almost endorsing when you win All Ireland, you're going to get a lot of, you're going to reward a lot of lads. Like, so that's the way it's always been.
Yeah, true enough.
Yeah, fair enough, lads. We leave it there. Thanks a million.
Thanks,
No
Ed.
bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.